Mix is amazing. Hey, if you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We got some ground to cover this morning. We're going to go through 1 Samuel 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Not verse by verse, so relax. I'll hit some of them we'll do verse by verse, and then we'll hit some highlights and roll on from there. For all the beauty and wisdom and revelation and encouragement and just all that's contained in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, line upon line, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, as well as the endless reservoir of living and active words. You know, not one word in this book is stuck to the page of this book. You can read some of these passages 100 times, and on the 101st time, it'll speak something to you never saw before. These words are living and they're active. The Bible's full of that. But you know, the Bible can also be at times a brutally honest book because it contains the stories of real people living real lives, facing a variety of circumstances, challenges, and situations. So we get to see their good days and their bad days and their victories and their defeats, as well as their strengths and their weaknesses. And so far over the last several weeks, as we've been looking at Samuel's life in preparation for Game Changer VBS this year, Samuel has shined beautifully in the spotlight. He cultivated a history of serving and honoring the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And he faithfully shared the things the Lord shared with him to the people. And even after a time, he became recognized as a prophet from the Lord, the first one in 400 years since Moses to be recognized that way among the people. And then last week we saw God raise him up to become a judge ruling over Israel. And it said throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. So that meant there was peace and order in the land when Samuel was the judge. But as always with Israel, that didn't last for long. So beginning at verse 1, chapter 8, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, "You're old, and your sons don't walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." When I read this story a month or so ago, and on and off since then, getting ready this week, the information about Samuel and his sons, it was so sad to read. Samuel's sons had followed in the path that Eli's sons had walked in, and Samuel appears to have followed in Eli's path of being a permissive father. And it made me wonder, I wonder what kind of father Samuel would have been had he been raised by his own birth father, by Elkanah, who we see in the scripture as a righteous, just man, rather than living under the mismanaged tabernacle life of Eli and his sons. But then the thought occurred to me, maybe Samuel was a perfect father. I mean, maybe he did everything just right. We don't know. The Bible doesn't articulate it. But what we do know, bottom line, is his sons got to make their own choice. So whether Samuel was the kind of dad they needed or not, they made their own choice. And they chose not to follow in the ways of their father. And so when they made that choice, the time of judges ruling over Israel came to an end. On the other side of Joshua's death, Israel's 200 years of judges was filled with demonstrations of their inconsistency. Now, that's not really so surprising because even while Moses was leading him and they had the benefit of God's presence every day, a cloud by day and a pillar by night, they just couldn't sustain faithful lives of devotion to God. And in the book of Judges, pretty much every time after there's a peace and a calm that comes with a rescuer judge that God would raise up, there'd be an instant falling away into even worse idolatry than they were in before they got rescued. And Israel's tribal form of governance was very dysfunctional, very unstable. So I suppose this push to be led by a king that the people brought to Samuel, I suppose it was inevitable. They wanted to be like everybody else. Now, and I'm not throwing stones at them because we still live with our own struggles about maintaining faithful, devoted lives to God. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. One of the things that's important is when we read stories like this, especially in the Old Testament, we just don't read them as historical Bible studies, but we read them and find the application. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil as they did. Don't be idolaters. We should not commit sexual immorality. We should not test the Lord. Do not grumble." These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. The Message Bible says all that this way. We must be on guard so that we never get caught up in wanting our own way as they did. We must not be sexually promiscuous. We must never try to get Christ to serve us rather than us serving him. We must be careful not to stir up discontent. These are all warning markers, danger, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. We're just as capable as messing it up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. God confidence. And the New Living Translation Study Bible I was looking at, there was a note that said, had the Israelites submitted to God's leadership, they would have thrived beyond their expectations. Listen, that's so true for us. If we'll just submit to God's leadership over our lives, we will thrive beyond any expectation or thought that we'd have, beyond what we could think or hope or imagine. It goes on to say, our obedience is weak. If we ask God to lead and bless our families, businesses, and personal lives, but continue to live by the world's standards and values, faith in God's leadership must touch all the practical areas of our lives. And that doesn't happen by accident. Instead, it's the fruit of an active, ongoing, conversational, relational pursuit of God, lived out every day and lived out in step with the Holy Spirit. And for those of us here this morning who are believers, that active, ongoing, conversational, relational pursuit of God, that is what God has started in each one of us. And he will be faithful to bring it to completion until the day of Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come, right? Look at verse 6. But when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you that they're rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so now that they're doing to you. Now listen to them. But warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. So at first when Samuel got this request, your sons aren't like you, you're old, we need a king, he took it personal. He took it as a personal insult. To his credit, he immediately took that offense to the Lord. Now, let me just talk about offenses a second. If you can be offended, you will be offended. When it happens, the very best first response is right to the Lord. So many times when we get offended, our first response is we aim at somebody else or we go gossip about somebody or we try to defend ourselves. But what's happening when we're offended is we're carrying rights that actually aren't ours. What kind of rights do a bondservant have? Zero. But we have these rights about the way we think we ought to be treated and talked to and responded to and all that. So whenever that happens, and it happens unfortunately a lot down here on the earth, when it happens, take it straight to the Lord like Samuel did. That's a beautiful example. That's always the best response. And when Samuel took it to the Lord and was talking to the Lord said, Samuel, brother, this isn't about you. This is about me. They're rejecting me as their king. And they've been doing it since I brought them out of Egypt. So it's nothing new. It's kind of par for the course. Yeah, I know they're rejecting you and your sons, but this is really about me. And then the Lord told him, so listen to them. Now, when I read that, I thought that's really a surprising thing for God to say, because it's obvious that if they would have continued to let God be their king and submitted and lived their life faithfully, their whole life would have been so much better. That's the plan that God had for them. That was the plan that would have been so good for them. And yet God said, listen to them when they ask for a king. And so it appears to me that listen to them